Hello, and welcome to Series 3, Episode 6 of Stars in Your Ears! Coming to you live from the trek of a lifetime on our desert island, we're all very excited because someone found a map which might lead us to buried treasure.
Why did you say someone like it was you who found it?
Well, it was a joint effort.
Was it?
I'd like to think it was.
Me, Robin Kitch found it while out for a walk.
And why were you going out for a walk?
Because we couldn't stand the smell of your cooking.
Exactly. So it's all connected. I've no idea why you didn't like the smell of my boiled fish with a shell stock.
You know what? It really took me back.
Yeah? To one of those fine dining establishments?
No, to when someone used to put fish in the communal microwave.
Ugh. Who does that?
I used to do that.
You're the worst.
Oh, probably the worst.
Awful.
Would you like to insult me anymore? Or shall I do the intro?
Intro, please, idiot.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please join me in welcoming the kindest lady in show business? Kind of a singer, kind of a comedian, kind of star of Spitting Image. I mean, there are plenty of other people on it. Oh, and award-winning podcaster. It's Jess Robinson.
And emeralds.
A cuddly toy!
Come on down! Yippee! We'll be millionaires once we find this treasure chest.
I'll treat myself to a yacht.
A grand piano for me.
I'll have an afternoon at Laser Quest.
Save the rest for pies.
Welcome to the show. You're gonna hear sounds in your ears. There's no better place to go if you wanna get
where? At the X.
Don't be silly, Michael. You've never had an X.
Actually, I've had tons of X's. I just didn't want to introduce them to you.
What? Because we'd embarrass you, my little red woolly tuxedo-wearing minkle moo?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Guys, let's not talk about X's, please. It's making Cassandra uncomfortable.
For the last time, Rob, the coconut you've drawn a face on is not called Cassandra, and she's not your girlfriend.
Don't listen to him, babe. He's just jealous.
Wow. Out of all of us, I really didn't expect Rob to be the first one to go mad.
I can't believe I've lost my best mate to a flaming coconut. No, Michael, no, are we nearly there yet? Because I can't put up with this any longer.
Well, if we're to assume that this bit here is over there, then I reckon we're about 5 minutes away.
Oh, I bet I could do that in two.
Bet you can't.
Not a chance.
I don't think you could do it. Oh, Cassie does, though.
Really, Cass?
It's Cassie. And yes, she's nodding.
I can see that, Rob. Don't speak for her. Thanks, Cassie. Aye, that's really pretty. I mean, you're really nice. I mean, great. Cool.
So are you going to run?
No, I'm just going to walk with Cassie, I think. Is that okay, Rob? Cheers. So where are you originally from? Organic. Oh, I could have guessed.
This isn't going to end well.
I agree. They're going the wrong way. You can let me down now, Michael.
I can't believe you carried her all this way on your shoulders.
A bet's a bet.
Yeah, one you lost.
And my punishment was to be carried by you. I hated every second of it. Thanks, though, Michael. You must be exhausted. Here you go. Start digging then, you two. Let's find me some buried treasure.
What are you going to do?
She's already asleep. Let's just crack on. The sooner we finish, the sooner I can find out where Kitch went.
So, how did you and Cassandra meet?
Oh, a really funny story, actually. We always say it's like in a romantic comedy. So we were both by those palm trees by the camp, you know the ones? And I was really hungry, and I saw this coconut. And that was her. The coconut was Cassandra.
Uh-huh. And did you eat her?
Michael, it's a bit of a personal question.
Oh, sorry.
What did I find?
You didn't find anything. Rob, help me with this. Rob, stop looking for Kitch. He'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right. One, two, three, lift!
Whoa! Is that what I think it is?
I think so.
Oh, my God. Cassie would love this. Cassie? Cassie?
I haven't seen one of these in years. a karaoke machine. The Electrostar 5000D, batteries included. It's got a 3-band graphic equalizer and built-in delay. Lay.
Hmm.
Are you not excited, Michael? Michael?
Hmm.
What's up your bum?
Stop it. Nothing's up my bum.
Sorry?
Nothing's up my bum, thank you, Jess. I just thought it would be buried treasure.
It is? This is a karaoke machine with 2 microphones. 2! You know what that means?
We could sing together?
No, I can duet with myself.
Oh, right.
Oh, hey up.
Why so sad, Kitch?
Well, me and Cass were right in the middle of a conversation when Rob whisked her away.
Look, Cassie, look what Jess found. We could sing that song you like. What is it?
See, he doesn't even know our favourite song.
And you do?
Yeah.
What is it?
Oh, Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
Of course it is.
What do you reckon, babe? Give it a go for old time's sake?
You've only known her one day.
You've known her 1 minute.
And that's all I needed to know, that I love her.
What?
You heard. I love her. And she loves me.
What? Cassie, is this true? It is.
This is amazing.
I mean, how low does your self-esteem have to be to think your coconut girlfriend is in love with somebody else?
I don't know what to say, except... I'll kill you, Kitch!
Not if I kill you first!
Boys, don't break the karaoke machine! Hey, enough!
You pinched me.
You pulled my pigtails.
Now say sorry.
Sorry.
That was me pretending to be Cassie. Now let's all focus on the important thing. Seeing if this machine works.
What's that beeping?
Is that the machine?
No, it sounds like it's coming from over there.
What, in the trees?
I think he's right.
It's getting faster.
Sounds like a checkout at Lidl.
Yeah, they scan stuff really fast there, don't they?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah. Michael?
I don't shop at Lidl.
Look, there's some movement in the trees.
Oh my God, it's a robot.
No, there's something attached to it.
It looks like a metal detector.
And the person holding it is...
Oh my God, it's...
charity. He wrote a book, so take a look and see him dancing down on Strictly. Can you believe that he is here and didn't abscond? Muscular Adonis tanned and legally blonde. Judge Rinder's gonna be judging us today. Oh. Judge Rinder's gonna be judging us today. Ooh, yeah. Judge Rinder's gonna be judging us today. All right.
There we go.
Best.
Perhaps. What? My own song. I feel like a Leonard Ceausescu. This is so great. Only like the rock and roll version. Jess, it really is. It's like, that was so joyous. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what it says about me. Probably nothing good, but then who cares? That, you know, I'm literally sitting there going, yeah, this song is about me. You know, it's like you know that bit in You're So Vain, you probably think the song is about you.
Yeah.
I said, so when I hear that song, I go, I always think, yeah, is it though? Turns out, this is amazing. Oh my God, thank you so much, Jess. Also, your voice. And also Motown. It's also Motown, which is the Motown's vibe, which is the music that, really the only music that my parents, my mum especially played when I was growing up.
Really?
So, yeah, absolutely central, yeah, that music.
Oh, fabulous. Really interesting that you were talking about your parents liking Motown. I wanted to ask you what sort of influences, music-wise and also And also vocally, what sort of influences did you grow up with?
Me growing up, that's really interesting. Because my music tastes are completely different from the music that I listened to as a kid. So the first album I ever bought was Now 4, I'm going to say, but the song was Diana Ross singing Chain Reaction, which I also organised an Osage school group dance to. It's an amazing thing. When I came out, people really needed to sit down, you know, have a cigarette and go, oh, that's a big surprise. Do you know what I mean? It's what you call nowadays a Schofield moment. Do you know what I mean? Go, what? No, never. I need to lie down. Really, Tambla Motown. I mean, my mum was such a Motown fan that I think not long ago she went to see Gladys Knight and the Pips, and there's only one Pip left. You know, that's how much keen she was. You know, those voices. She also used to love the Monkees. I remember that when she was growing up. All of that sort of era, you know, kind of that, I suppose, sort of early 70s music that came out of America was definitely the kind of loudest. And then gradually evolving. And do you remember Shades of My Dad's Divorce? You won't remember that, but it was I was talking to my brother about this the other day. No Jacket Required. It was a Phil Collins album. Do you remember that? And also, this is now early 80s, and I'm sniffing the back of an XR30 Turbo with my dad dating a whole variety of different inappropriate women who I, at 7 years old, used to sort of sit and interrogate and ask them about their future prospects and their childhood pain.
Wow.
I know, but Paul Young was always playing as well at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. So those sorts of vocalists. So 70s, mid 70s, right the way through to the early 80s. And then pretty much stopped listening to pop music pretty much after that point, and became sort of passionately invested in classical music. And then I don't really know what happened after 1899 these days.
Wow.
Who are your favourite classical composers?
Oh, wow. That is a really big one. It's really hard, isn't it? When you like love music and it's sort of somehow in an authentic, as opposed to, you know, display way, found itself into your soul. It gifts you so much. It's so hard to sort of say who's your favourite composer, like who's your favourite writer.
Or do you have a favourite genre of classical music?
I love chamber music, Schubert and so on and so forth. And so on and so forth is limitless. And it depends on what mood I'm in, right? I mean, you know, anybody that wants to get into it, it's important to watch it. And you don't need to go to a gig ever, but if you watch Vladimir Horowitz in 1978 playing the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto, doesn't matter what musical taste you've got, the magic and authenticity of how he plays. And if you can just sit on your own, if you can have a glass of wine, great. Just watch his fingers and let the music disappear over to you. What you realise is that, yes, the music may last a bit longer, but if you listen to the beat and the rhythm and the subtext of the melodies, it's just early trance music. It really is that, and that is the connective tissue that binds all music. It has this limitless capacity to take you into a new state, whatever state that is.
Absolutely.
Has the capacity to emotionally frame and curate the content of your day, even a moment.
Yes.
Such a kind of powerful way. That's why it's so great. I mean, your ditty, which you may have done in like 5 seconds, right? And, you know, yeah, you've got the lyrics off Wikipedia. All right, which is, you know, nice, by the way. You know, genuinely, after a morning where I crashed into Charles Dance and came back, you know, having some species of man premenstrual nuclear meltdown. and I'm genuinely thinking, you know, what is going on? This is a disaster. And within 3 seconds, you've completely, I thought, oh God, I've got to go and meet Jess. I've got to be cheery. It's going to be a nightmare. And within 3 seconds, you completely sort of improved the content of my day.
Oh, good.
So pleased.
No,
that makes us super happy, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
Yeah.
I think that lots of people listening won't realise that you're such a music fan and speak so intelligently, and so you're so well informed about music.
I'm well informed about what I know about. I mean, the thing is, I can't bear any form of rubbish or nonsense. I mean, there's what I love, it's limitless. There's so much I don't know. I mean, there's nothing better for me to sit down and listen to somebody who loves passionately a genre of music. I was making a show with this guy, brilliant director, David Vincent. I realized I knew nothing about Bowie. He's this Bowie fan. And I knew nothing about the bands of the 70s. And I got this, I mean, when somebody's passionate like that and they love something and they just play you these gift after gift of songs, you may not like it, but to be alongside somebody who's sharing, because it's not just about that piece of music. You get a little vignette about their life, or they'll tell you, they'll locate it in the moment of an artist's journey. Or I have tried for years with Divine Comedy, and there's lots of Bowie that I listen to, and I was like, oh, I don't get it, you know. Mm-hmm. But the limitless possibilities to exchange and share music, the capacity it has, regardless of your background, creed, political point of view, that in fact it's pretty much the only real, I think, meaningful art form that has the capacity to do that so quickly, that you and I can disagree on so much, but we might be able to quietly sit alongside each other and share in a piece of music and have a common experience and even a common emotional reaction.
Yeah.
That's why it is such a limitlessly powerful art form.
Hi, Jess here. Do you love us? Because we love you. If you do love us, it would be really cool if you would donate to us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/JessRobinson, you can donate £5, £10, £20, £1,000, and it will help us keep making these things, and you will get some lovely stuff from us, like free tickets to live shows, bonus content, a hug from me. I shouldn't say that, really. Mum told me I shouldn't hug strangers, but still, you're not my strangers, you're my friends. You can get a private masterclass, you could get a song written for you or a mate or your mum. What I'm saying is, go to patreon.com/JessRobinson and donate to us. You can make a one-off donation if you like. And in return, you will feel great about yourself and get nice things from us. And we will love you. We will be best friends forever. Yeah? Thank you, bye! Stars in your ears! So how did you get into Grime? Tell me about that.
Again, in an effort, I never ever criticise anything without trying to understand it first. Yeah, a sort of To Kill a Mockingbird style, perhaps, but also because it matters to me deeply. It's the only thing that chiefly matters in my relationships with human beings, is trying always to determine who they are based upon what they do. You know, I've never, ever been the victim of predetermining who or what somebody might be by how they sound or how they look. And that's partly because of the privilege of growing up in a really seriously blended community in terms of class and race. Uh-huh. Doesn't mean that I don't hold subconscious things like most people, but definitely, you know, when I started at the bar, you know, one of the things you had to do, it's really funny, you know, you had to, not funny, it's the nature of the work, you know, you had to be able to know the various descriptions of people, and they were split into different racial divides. Like ICT1 male is a white male, ICT. And, you know, I'd look at these suspects and I'd be terrible at it. I'd be like, where's ICT like 5 for tall and hot? So it's not like you don't, it's not like you don't see, it's a nonsense, and it's totally disingenuous to say you don't see the nature of somebody's skin. It's just when you grow up in a really kind of class and racially blended community, it's just not the first thing that's going on in your head. You're going, like, mentally, oh my God, look at him. That's much more attractiveness is a bigger, issue. So that's sort of a long throat clearing. So I don't ever sort of judge. So I wanted to understand more about, started just sort of basic rap music and then a little bit more of R&B because I found it sort of alienating. And I thought, well, this is really weird that, you know, I can listen to Magic Flute, which is off the chain stupid. Right, it's the most stupid thing, it's freaking insane, it's the most base form of art imaginable, right? Or Don Giovanni, which is 2.5 hours too long and it's 3.5 hours, right? And the reason it's not there was no telly, when we have to be honest, Handel operas, I mean, you know, where do we begin with those? You know, most of them are insane. You can remember in the 18th century when a lot of this stuff was being played, and then His Majesty's Theatre, Georgian Theatre, you know, people would come and there'd be sopranos there, and there'd be like, people would be shagging in boxes. They'd leave. It'd be like a noise. They'd leave. They'd come back to the bits that they'd like. There was like all of these rivalries with like different sopranos. They'd boo the other one. It was like a football game. Again, 100%.
Wow.
You know, Yeah, people don't talk about it. Opera was never meant to be experienced in the way that it is now. It's kind of reverential, you know, kind of godlike experience. It was about a rowdy, raucous, unless the royal family were there. But, you know, it was played in nightclubs. Don Giovanni was played in nightclubs, first of all. And so I was sort of curious about understanding why I wasn't responding to a lot of rap music. I like some, I know I like some of this, but I don't understand it. And also over the years, I'd represented, very sadly and tragically, a number of gang members in Birmingham, very serious cases. A number of them were, really quite serious poets. And that, of course, is the ultimate tragedy because they ended up on the other side of the table from me. And but for a graceful series of things, that's why they ended up there. And you know, we'd talk about that stuff and I'd often go away and, you know, regardless whether you're down in the cells or not, you're staring into the face and sitting alongside somebody in the completeness of their humanity. And so they've got a variety of different interests. I thought, well, okay, I'll go and listen to this stuff. And again, I didn't necessarily respond, but what I used to love, and this is the pretentious segue, when I was about 18, you know, experiencing my existential pain and looking like Claire Balding on steroids. Have a look at the pictures, by the way. Someone posted one the other day. But I used to really, I was really into Sylvia Plath's poetry. You know, any of your listeners should go and have a look at it. You know, poems like Lesbos or Daddy, and you know, these are kind of early rap, you know, early beatnik poems, you know, in the 50s, you know, you do not do any more black shoe in which I live like a foot for 30 years, poor and white, barely daring to breathe or achoo. Or in Lesbos, you know, there's a poem, you go, meanwhile there's a stink of fat and baby crap, and you can hear the rhythms and the and how it touches you. And you take that through, for example, to Amy Winehouse's writing. You know, he kept his dick wet with his same old safe bet.
Yeah.
I mean, how much truth and honesty and rhythm and kind of searing capacity to reach into you. And I actually didn't realize until I saw the documentary just the depth of the poetry. And I thought, well, because I was really into that poetry. And I have to say, maybe it's because I'm a gay man and, you know, that those voices, especially then in my life, I felt very connected to.
You spoke earlier, you mentioned when you were four that you decided to speak in the way that you do. Yeah. Is that true? Did you?
I've been thinking about it recently because somebody asked. And
did your mum speak the way you do, or your dad?
No, I mean, my mum's been on various documentaries, and people say, I mean, no, mum's got sort of middle. I don't know, mum's sort of middle of the road, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had an extraordinary story. She was a housewife living in Southgate. You know, went back to college and ended up, you know, running a quite big business and starting it from our bedroom, put our house up on. You know, as collateral. She's a powerful, extraordinary woman. So, no, she sounds, I suppose, because as a businesswoman now, but sounds like you would expect a businesswoman to sound. But certainly, you know, I listen to myself back sometimes and I think, my goodness, you listen to Amy Winehouse. That's how all of my friends sound growing up.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I probably, again, you know, I suppose more than an intuitive sense of feeling other.
Right.
You know, and you're gay and you're a little bit of a giraffe in a sea full of fabulous hippopotami, you know, inevitably that needs a voice to go with it, right?
Right.
And so I suspect this happened as a way of sort of subconsciously connoting that eventually there was going to have to be some sort of serious discussion. Although that serious discussion never had to take place because I had, this is a serious privilege. I mean, your sense of how indifferent my family was when I came out. Told this story is absolutely true. The real religion in our family was Tottenham Hotspur Football Club more than anything else. But when I came out to my brother, he sat there for about 2 seconds. He went, yeah. I don't care what you are, just as long as you're not Arsenal.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
No, but if you can't read, but he really meant it, Jess.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a nod or like, this is a gag for posterity in case I want a footnote in your autobiography. It was like when Sol Campbell left Tottenham to go to Arsenal. It was like there was a death in my house.
You know what I mean? Wow. Anyway.
Right, wow. That's really serious stuff.
Honey, listen close.
Listen close,
because this is where I really need ya.
I need ya.
If this is your bag, then give us a tag and post on your social media. Please rate us, validate us, show us how much you care. Give us stars out of 5 and don't forget to share. Yeah, thanks.
Now, I think you're going to be absolutely brilliant at this. It is now time for your impressions lesson. I think that you'll be wonderful at this because you're obviously musical and you can sing as well. So today you are going to learn the gorgeous classic Judy Garland. So I'm going to break down the impression for you and we're going to do it in a few easy steps and then we'll build it up together. And I know our lovely listeners always like to join in as well. The first thing to say about Judy is that her voice really changed over the years. Her young voice, when she was starting out, the very sort of innocent, pure, somewhere over the rainbow, was way, way, way more controlled and pure than her voice in, say, the late 60s, when it was much lower and she'd, you know, it was a very lived-in voice, let's say, right, which was more sort of somewhere over the rainbow. And I think that's the one we're going to go for today. My mum.
That's amazing, by the way.
Thanks. That,
yeah. The kind of level of listening.
Well, it's really just blagging and making it up as I go along.
Shut up. Only women say that sort of thing.
Is that true?
So I thought we were over this, right? And I did, again, you know,
it's the imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Right, but there's a certain kind of, yeah, sure, we all feel it to a greater or lesser extent, certainly anyone we trust or like. But, you know, the other day, you know, you saw the group that I've been gifted to make the show, and they've been really good to their word. This group of young women, and they've not really done conferences before. I thought, like, that's on the show. You own 20 minutes of show. Do whatever you like, whatever you want to talk about. Intolerance, because we're kind of quite male leaning at a certain age. Come and talk with it. Anyway, how did they start every single idea they had? What was the first thing they said?
This is probably really stupid.
Yes, everyone, and they're 22. I thought we were. That precisely. I was like, what? I thought your generation didn't do that.
Oh, anyway, shit.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
I know, right? Anyway, it's writ large.
Oh,
there's no hope.
Right. So there's no hope. No, we're going to, this is not stupid and I'm glad I'm here. when I was learning to cook, when my mum always used to tell me that every dish started with an onion. Onion's the basis of most dishes. So that's what I do when I'm cooking. I always start with an onion and obviously I'll use a little bit less if I'm making cupcakes. So with impressions, I think every impression to some degree starts with a bit of Mr. Bean.
The voice in the back of the throat. I'd like you to get your voice in the back of the throat and let's just start.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Are you all right, Rob? How do you think it's going so far?
I sound like Mr. Davis that used to own the Kosher Deli in Hampden Square. That's what I sound like.
It's a very niche impression.
Like, when people were like, it would delight my family to used to go, I've got some lovely smoked salmon for you this week.
can you add a bit of American to your deli man?
Sure. I sound like Kermit.
That's right. So let's have a Kermit.
Halfway up the stair.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So you're basically almost there.
Okay.
So now I want you to, with your voice in the back of your throat and your American accent, can you widen your eyes and pout at the same time? And with your wide eyes and your pout, could you say, oh my?
Oh my.
Yes. And we're going to add a little bit of air to the voice. Oh my.
Oh my.
Yes. Oh Toto.
Oh Toto.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. And if you do it in your
this
brain,
is the gayest. I don't even remember. I'm not going to suggest for a second, like, the various things you could have thought about. You've cast me as freaking Dorothy. You are literally the friend of Dorothy. That's what you thought of. However did you think of that one, Jeff?
I mean,
but surely it would have been more challenging for you to do Arnie. There could be any number. You've got Rob on. You know what? How late into the night were you thinking of, oh, let's make a Dorothy?
Well, it was, you know, a toss up between Matt and Barbara. No.
Okay.
So now we're going to We're going to add in.
Do it again. Okay. So American, back of your throat, wise-eyed and lips counting with a bit of breath. Okay.
Yes, that's okay. Right. Could you say, oh, Toto.
Oh, Toto.
Oh, it's wonderful. Okay. Oh, now we're
Toto.
Going to.
Oh, Toto.
Oh, it's very good. So we're going to lengthen the speaking voice now. So, oh
N-E-M.
Yes. And now can you sing N-E-M, N-E-M?
N-E-M, N-E-M.
Yes. Let's N-E-M. Turn oh my N-E-M. Into oh my.
Oh my.
Yes. And you, let's try a bit of somewhere.
I can't do
that's
it.
That's good. No, you can't. Put a where in. Where. Somewhere. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, to be honest, this is a very easy job with you because you're so musical and you've got such a good ear. You're just making me look good here. I'm going to take the stabilizers off. I would like you, as Judy, to have a go at.
Does not say. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're going to be wonderful at it, by the way. I just know you're going to be really good at this.
Oh, Toto, do you know my favorite song? Why? It's Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila, Hava Nagila, Mevnisna.
I mean, that is not something you see every day.
Excellent.
Only on Stars in Your Ears. Jeez, that was wonderful.
By the way, can I just talk about the fact that I crashed into Tywin Lannister's car this morning, right? And I'm now singing as Judy Garland, Hava Nagila, all before 12 o'clock in the morning.
Well done. Jess. Welcome to your life.
Stars in Your Ears.
We like to finish every show with a little song around the campfire, because as you know, we're stuck on a desert island. We would love it if you'd have a sing-song with us.
I'll sing a song with you.
Would you?
Yeah.
What song would you like to sing?
Oh, do you know what song I'd really like to sing? Because in the great panoply of work, it's in my, you know, I can't turn my phone, but I've got a wall that's sort of dedicated to, I mean, Shoeberry and Leda. But yeah, what I'd really like to sing, Jess, loud whisper.
Go on.
Yeah. Is London Bridge.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, it's so good. Okay. You can even do it on your phone, can't you? Hang on, let's have a go.
Wow.
Can you... That's more or less it, isn't it?
I'll have a pepperoni while you're
okay, thank you. No, that was right. We were a semitone out, but anyway, what can I tell you?
Will you do your Judy Garland impression for us in this song?
Okay. Can't I just go on.
And who would you like me to be, Rob?
I'd like you to be Jessie J.
Oh, thanks.
That's who I'd really like you to be.
Okay. And boys, who are you going to be? In fact, let's save it as a little
We'll see.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady. Oh, Toto, please welcome to the stage, Jessie J.
Rinda, thank you so, so much for being on Stars in Your Ears. What's your plan now? Are you going to just sort of try and get off the desert island like us?
What do you mean desert island? What?
We crashed our plane here a little while ago and we've been living here ever since.
Jess, what are you talking about? We're not on a desert island.
What?
This is Eastbourne Beach, South Coast, not too far from Brighton. Don't you live in Brighton, Jess?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a group of idiots. There's literally a chippy over there. Fools.
Oh, balls. Thought it was a mirage. Silly kitsch. Not everything is a mirage. How many bloody times?
Oh, right. Well, this is a sort of a... It's a good news, bad news situation. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose so. Right. I'm off then. I'll see you later. There's showers over there. You guys looking at them, well, all I'm going to say is you might need them.
Oh, thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Right.
Yes.
Sure.
A bit embarrassing for all of us, eh?
A little.
Should we head home?
Could do, maybe.
Or do you want to stay here one more night, camp out and have a sing-song?
Yes, please.
Oh, great. Fire up the karaoke machine. Rob, would Cassie like to sing?
Oh, no, I've thrown her in the ocean.
What? No!
You boys. You!